Good to see you again tonight. I'm glad to be with you. The board says I'm going to talk about the father sick of such. That's what John penned in the book of John 4. I got to thinking about that, the kind of people that the Lord wants and the kind of people that this church needs. As we talk about that, I'd like for you to see if you're in this category. And if you aren't, that you make a move to get into it. What kind of people does the Lord seek? First of all, I believe He seeks rich people. Somebody said, wait a minute, Johnny. Surely you don't mean that. Yeah, I do. Or I wouldn't have said it. Okay. He seeks rich people. Well, I'm not talking about money now. You thought I was going to say that, didn't you? But He seeks people who are said to be rich in good works. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. We all must be rich when it comes to that. But not only does the Father seek rich people, He seeks poor people. Somebody said that includes me, okay? There are some areas in which we must be poor. In the mountain message, according to the book of Matthew 5 and verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. That means those who are lowly. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 3. So ask the question, how poor are you when it comes to this? But in the third place, the Bible teaches that the Father seeketh hungry and thirsty people. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, He also said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Am I talking to you? Are you one of those persons that is hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness? But as you think about the kind of people the Lord seeks and the kind of people that Mill Street needs, we need a friendly people. When people visit this church and they come by and they say, Johnny, I was down at Mill Street last week. And I say, were they friendly? What do you think they said? I hope, Donnie, they said that we were a friendly group. It's written in the book of Proverbs, 18:24. A man that had friends, you know the rest of that? Must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. If a visitor were to judge Mill Street Church by you, I'm talking to you now, would they say this is a friendly church? Would they? You'll have to decide that. And so if you're not in that category, I challenge you to get in and be a friendly person. Sometimes I see members just walk by as if you weren't even sitting there. Don't say a word to you. Come on. Some churches need a little warmth among them. Does this church need that? You have to decide. The Lord seeketh such to worship Him. But as you catalog the kind of people that's needed, we need people who care. You show me how much you care, and I'll listen to you. Sometimes, churches have very few conversions because they get to thinking, who cares? You know, there's a statement in Psalm 142 and 4. I looked on my right hand, looked on my left hand, and no man cared for my soul. That's tough. How'd you like to live in a world or an atmosphere or a church? Well, nobody seems to care. Do you care? How do I know you do? If you don't show it. There's a great need for caring members of this church. Writing the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 29, that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same, you know the next word? Care. One for another. Do you care? Sometimes I preach a sermon, I just call, who cares? Does anybody care anymore? By the way, do you fit into that category? Do you? You'll have to decide that. And if you have not joined the care people, I challenge you to do so. Somebody said, when? Now. Tonight. Before you leave here. You got to care. But I'll tell you another kind of persons that the Lord seeks and that Mill Street Church needs is first things first people. What do you put first in your life? Your job? Make sure your car is washed and clean? Your family? All those things are good. I'm not downplaying those. But you know what the Bible says about putting first things first? You remember Matthew 6? There were folks who were worried about how tall they were or how short. What they're going to put on? What they're going to wear? What they're going to eat? What they're going to... You worry about those things? Let me tell you how to worry. We have any worry people here? Sorry to say worry wars. Worry people. I tell you how to do that. If you have to worry, pick out one day out of the week, like Thursday, and do all you worrying on Thursday and be done for the week. You want to try that? How did the Lord answer that? What's the remedy for first things first? Matthew 6:33. Remember that one? But seek ye first. That first don't mean second. It means above everything else. Priority over everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness and all these things. What were these things? The things you've been worrying about. How tall, how short, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. They'll take care of themselves. You listening? I'm talking to you. The Lord's church and God seeks first things first people who have their priorities all worked out and they know exactly the order of things. By the way, have you handled all that properly so far? You'll have to decide that. Nobody can do it for you. I tell you another kind of people the Lord seeks, and that is people who have quit making excuses. You know, there's a little story in Luke 14, 16 to 24 about people that manufactured excuses. They bought a piece of ground, got to go see it, bought some oxen, go try them out. And one guy, they said, excuse me. And one said, I married a wife. I can't go. You know, you can come up with any kind of excuse you want. A man asked his neighbor, I'd like to borrow your axe. He said, I can't loan you my axe. He said, why not? He said, I'm making soup. The guy said, what's that got to do with loaning your axe? He said, nothing. But if I don't want to loan you my axe, one excuse is good as another. We manufacture excuses. I told one lady about coming to services. She'd been missing. She said, I probably won't be there next Sunday. I probably have a headache. I thought maybe the Lord will bless her with a good one. I talked to one person who was missing a lot, and I said, where have you been? What's going on? She said, my cat's sick. My cat's sick. I said, well, you know they do have nine lives. One person said, I can't, I won't be there Sunday. My parakeet is sick, I think. He's not eating. Parakeet sick. You see, if you don't want to come, you can manufacture about any excuse you wish. The Lord's looking for people who quit making excuses. Are you good at making them or not? Let's get out of that excuse-making business. What do you say? The Lord's looking for people that has quit making. I'll tell you another kind of person the Lord seeks to worship Him, and that is people who are not ashamed. Are you ashamed of the gospel or the apostle, as you talked about? Some people are too ashamed to admit who they are. A couple of men worked together for 30 years. And they didn't know that each other was a member of the church, that each of them were Christian. Something wrong somewhere along the line. The people that know you at work, your neighbors, your friends, they know you who you are. You'll have to decide that. I read where the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. When Paul preached to Agrippa, you know what Agrippa said? Almost. Almost what? Yeah, I got that. That persuaded me to be a Christian. And I guess Peter said it best of all when he said, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed. There's the word. To glorify the Father which is in heaven. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to let people know you're a member of the Church of Christ? Are you? The Lord's looking for people that are not ashamed of Him nor His Word. I'll tell you another kind of people the Lord seeks, this Mill Street Church needs. That is a people who are unafraid. You know, there's some people afraid of everything. Sometimes the old chap told about a fellow didn't plow because his face was going to rain. Remember that? Or, I'm afraid. You remember the talent people? The Lord gave talents to different people. What did one of them say? I was afraid. You ever say that? I'm afraid. I don't think that'll work. I'm afraid that won't work. Y'all have business meetings around here? Have business meetings? Maybe used to, didn't you? And somebody suggests something, they say, oh, I'm afraid that won't work. And just knock it in the head. We need some people that are not afraid of everything. You know, the Lord talks about that in Matthew 10:28, when he said, fear not them which kill the body, but able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The final book talks about people like that. In Revelation 21:8. And when you count the population of hell, you don't want to go there, by the way. One group of people is the fearful. Now, if you want to be among those people later on, just join them now. I'm afraid. The Lord is seeking people to worship Him, and the Mill Street Church of Christ needs people who are not afraid of everything. You remember Franklin Delano Roosevelt? What he said one day, there's only one thing to fear. You know the rest of that? And that's fear itself. Next. When he cataloged the kind of people the Father seeketh to worship Him, and the kind of people Mill Street Church of Christ in London needs is faithful, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, people. Did I say that too fast? 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is the kind of people Mill Street Church needs. Let me ask you, don't answer out loud, just think about it. Are you in that category of the faithful, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord people? Are you? You'll have to decide. I don't know. Are you? If you aren't, we dish out a challenge. Ever heard of a challenge? Don and I challenge each other about every day about something, don't we? We talk about every day about something. Good or bad. What group are you in, by the way? Faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, he talks about a steward. You know what a steward is? He's responsible for the goods of another. And the first requirement of a steward is that he be found faithful. You don't want to entrust your goods to somebody that's not faithful to take care of them. You know you're stewards? That's who you are. And somebody said, who are you? I'm a steward. Have you gotten into that place, by the way? Are you faithful? I hope you are. If you aren't, you need to get in that category. In the final book. That's what I'm talking about, by the way, in the day services. God's final words to man. That's the book of Revelation, beginning in the morning at 10 o'clock. You know what he said in Revelation 2:10? By the way, the book of Revelation doesn't have an S on it. Just Revelation. We have a little penalty for people in our preacher training program that said Revelations. The first offense was to write 500 times. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. And the second offense, write 1,000 times. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. And they didn't say it no more. In Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. You know what that meant or means? It means to be faithful even to the taking of your life. Those people's lives were at stake. Only if they deny the Lord, say, I don't know him, they were untied and let go. Otherwise, they may have been burned at the stake. If you'd only be faithful, even the taking of your life. Be steadfast, unmovable. Am I talking to you? Sometimes abiding in the work of the Lord. Is that what that said? What's the word?
Always.
Always, okay. Thank you. Always, not sometimes, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the kind of people that this church needs tonight. And the kind of people the Lord seeks to worship him. I'll tell you another kind of people he's looking for. People who obey the gospel when they hear it. I don't know that you have the right to hear the gospel more than one time. Those on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 had never heard it before. They heard one sermon, believed one sermon, obeyed one sermon. I hear people argue about how much you got to know before you obey the gospel. As if it takes 20 years before you decide to become a Christian. If you're here tonight, you hear the word, you believe it, would repent of your sins, be willing to confess your faith. Don is willing to help you make that good confession when you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is the baptism filled with water? Are the clothing in the dressing room? Are you ready to baptize someone if they'll come tonight?
Yes.
Okay. So everything's ready. Are you ready to obey the gospel or to be restored? Would you come while we sing the song if you are?